yesterday on bus ministry visiting folks, and actually Thursday night is when this happened. I just have to jog my memory when this happened. I believe it was Thursday night that I was out, and I did my visits, and then I went to see Lisa Finkler up in Peckville, and I visited her and encouraged her to get back to church. She said she would do that coming up here in the weeks, maybe next week. Talked to her, and she told me about Joe Walsh, said that she'd been in contact with Joe Walsh, and I said, yeah, we tried to get a hold of him. And she gave me the number of the nursing home. So I called the nursing home, and they said that he's been discharged to the hospital. So I went to the hospital where I'd visited him before he went into the nursing home, which was Lehigh Valley up in Dixon City. And they said, no, he's not here. We didn't have a record of his being admitted there. That apparently, she said, check with the family. They would know. And then I heard today that Joe Walsh passed away. And there was an obituary, and then one of the ladies that were here said that Lisa had shared that, and Lisa does stay in touch. So this must have been she shared that after she talked to me Thursday night. It's not far between here and heaven. It's not far. We are very conscious of people passing away in our church. Marlene Tolley's here tonight. Her husband passed away as a member of our church. My dad's not a member of our church, but he passed away 2 years ago, Thanksgiving time. My mom's here tonight. And these two ladies have had to say goodbye to their spouses. It doesn't take long. Life goes by very fast. And that's another reason why we need to get the Word of God out. I think of Marion Owen. She was here this morning. And I think of Denny Owen, a faithful member of our church, born-again believer. Denny Owen for many years, and he passed away. A lot of people passing away since COVID. Death is on the increase. As we see that happening, as we're living in more and more perilous times. And you can expect more deaths due to pandemics and due to the release of bioweapons and all of that. You know, we're gonna have to deal with that. It's going to happen. And so, you know, we've had a lot of death in our church. Go back before that, our secretary, Rolaine Wolf, passed 2015. Eric Zukowski, 2005. We have a lot of people. Did I say Zukowski? I've got you buried already tonight. It happens fast. Eric Slobodnik, yes. And, you know, I don't know if you're going to pass before next year or the next year. I don't know if I'm going to pass. We don't know. We're not guaranteed. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. You do not know what a day will bring forth. James 5 says, we shouldn't be boasting. We should say, I'm not going to do this or that. And we should say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Don't miss that. We shall live if the Lord will. You don't know if you're going to be alive. If God says it's time for you to go, you'll go. And you say, well, I'm healthy. I don't have any plans to die. That's all right. God may have a plan to take you out of here. And so, you know, I want to talk about this tonight. And I have chosen a message tonight that has hope in it from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And it's because of the faith of loved ones that have passed and the hope that we have here that we can talk about death and be encouraged, that we can sorrow and mourn. I remember my wife, we took a cruise. I was just talking to my son about that because my son went on a senior cruise. He was the only senior at RBCS back then. That's my middle son, Bo. Bo Bo David Bloom. And he said, we were going to go on a cruise. He said, I want my friend Eric to go with me. Eric, not Zukowski, Eric Slobodnik. And he was telling me about it. We went down to Massanutten, Virginia, and it was in February and, you know, snowy, and we were doing tubing down the mountain there, and it was about 60 degrees, but there was a lot of snow, and that was the best way to go tubing. It was nice. We ate at a restaurant there, and then we made our way to Miami, Florida, and we embarked on a cruise going to the Virgin Islands, going to Puerto Rico and other places south in February. I remember we were going to go to Australia, but my father-in-law was sick, and so the plan was to go to those places south of Miami because my father-in-law was living in West Palm Beach. I remember that my father-in-law passed, and we wound up burying him. And we went on that cruise, and my wife, at middle of the night, I'd be in the cabin, and she was gone. I'd leave the cabin. I'd go looking for her. I'd go up to the top of the ship, and there she was up there praying to God, looking at the ocean as we're out there in the middle of the Atlantic and the beautiful moonlit waters, and she's just worshiping God, thinking about her dad passing away and still mourning because it was fresh. And, you know, you're going to go through it. The longer you live, the more you're going to go through this. And this chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, starts out with the gospel. And we need to realize the gospel is good news. We're talking about good news tonight. Yes, there's sin in the world and death because of sin. And it could have been the end of it right there, sin and death. But 1 Corinthians 15 starts out saying, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news. You know, people that sorrow and mourn over the death of loved ones, you need to be in church and get the word of God. You need to hear the gospel. You need to hear the good news. You're not going to get comfort out there in the world. You're not going to get comfort out there crying in your whatever you're crying in. You're going to get comfort from God. The Bible says we don't sorrow as others which have no hope. That doesn't mean we don't grieve and mourn. We don't grieve and mourn like people that don't have hope. And so the gospel is good news, he said, which I preached unto you. By the way, you need to let that good news out. You have it, but others need to hear it. And it says, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Thank God for those of you that heard the gospel. You understood it. You received it. You say, how did I receive it? By the empty hands of faith. There's nothing you did. You received it as good news, and you believed it. I remember when I was condemned to hell. I was 17. I was convicted, but I heard the gospel through my grandmother, Mabel, in Muskegon, Michigan, 3303 Thompson Avenue, and I received it as good news. It's still good news to me. It's such good news to me, because what's the greatest enemy that we all face? What's the worst thing this world can throw at us? Death. Death. And the gospel deals with death. Thank God. The Bible says that the gospel has brought life and immortality to light. Life and immortality. You say, well, what's life and immortality? Well, Jesus put it this way to Martha when Lazarus, her brother, was dead, and she was hopeless and discouraged. And Jesus was talking about the resurrection and him being the resurrection and the life. And Martha said, well, we know there's a resurrection. We believe that. I know my brother's going to be raised at the last day. She said, and Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then he said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. There's two things there. If you do die, Jesus said, you will live again. You will be raised from the dead. And he gave a demonstration by saying, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of the dead. Death cannot hold your loved one. That loved one will come out. By the way, that's why I believe in burial, not cremation. You say it's cheaper. Well, if it's easy, it's sleazy. God says, no, bury. Plant the seed in the ground. God wants the picture of the resurrection, just like baptism, supposed to be by immersion. Get your pictures right. Do it right. Do it God's way. And so there's going to be that resurrection. Nobody that dies is, if they're saved, if they're in the Lord, they're not going to stay in that grave. That death is not the last word. That coffin lowered down under the ground is not that last word. That dirt put on top the coffin is not that last word. The graveyard put on top of the dirt with their marker on it, it's not the last word. Jesus has the last word. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that, though he were dead, he said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's our hope, the resurrection from the dead. And death is an enemy, but it cannot conquer. But then he said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. What does that mean? That means that if you are a believer in Jesus, you are alive right now. You'll never die. Even if your body dies, you as a spiritual being will never die. You are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. There is no condemnation because the gospel is that Christ died for our sins. If he died for our sins, that settles it. We don't have to die. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Have you put your faith in Jesus? There's no condemnation. And by the way, there's no separation either. Because he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Death is separation. Thanatos, translated death, it means the separation of the soul and spirit from the body. But my friend, there is no separation from the life of God. Because the moment you believe in Christ, you have eternal life. You're not going to get it when you die. You have it the moment that you believe. And you shall never die. Your body can die, but if it does, it'll be raised back up by the Lord. But you, the real you, your body's your house, but the real you, you'll never die. You will never die. You don't have a soul sleep. When, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe in soul sleep. That's a lie of the devil. Right. No, you're never going to die. And if you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. And it's not that we're looking forward to being naked without our body, because we're made to have a body, and God's going to give us a body in the resurrection. But if we are stripped of our clothing, of our body, and we're naked and we're ghosts and souls, we're still never going to die. Never be separated. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm telling you, the Bible says in Titus that the Lord our God has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Titus 2, 13 and 14. What is life? That is, God is in your spirit, and your soul and your spirit will never be separated from God. That's life. And you'll never die. What's immortality? He's brought not only life, but immortality. That is your body if and when it dies. And it may very well and likely will die. Most everybody dies. There are exceptions like Enoch. and Elijah, but they're rare exceptions. Millions and millions will die. And the last generation that will see the Lord. Yeah, but that's an exception still. Most people die. Believers. But immortality to light through the gospel, that's not going to stop you from having an immortal body that the Lord himself will give you in the future at the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that's why he says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." Boy, that's a blessing. I want to go soul winning and tell people about that. And then it says that good news is for us. And it says, and that he was buried. You say, why did they bury him? To make it certain that he was dead. You're not supposed to bury somebody unless they're dead. You know, they used to, before they had formaldehyde, they would bury people, and on occasion they'd wake up and they'd be in the coffin. And they'd be like, And you know what they used to do before they had formaldehyde? They would take a string and attach it to a bell and feed it down into the coffin. So if the person woke up and they were alive, they would start ringing that bell. Bing, bing, bing. And that's where we got the phrase dead ringer from. You ever heard of the phrase dead ringer? Somebody waking up and ringing that bell. And then, what happened if it was at midnight till 6 a.m. and they're ringing and nobody's there to hear it? Well, that's why in the graveyards they had somebody working the graveyard shift. And that's where we get that phrase, graveyard shift, to handle the dead ringers. See? But I'm just saying that death is very real, and Christ was buried because he didn't just swoon. If he just swooned, if he just passed out, he couldn't save me from death. He couldn't save you from death. He's got to go into the grave. He's got to be dead. And he was dead for 3 days and three nights. And then he arose after that. Up from the grave he arose. With a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain. And he lives forever with his saints' strength. He was in the grave and he swept out the grave. And he made it a pleasant place now for the believer to wait for the resurrection. And just as sure as you go into that grave, if you're a believer in Christ, you're coming out again. Because it says he was buried, but it's not like the Catholics. They have a dead Christ hanging on the cross. No, we have a living Savior. He's risen from the dead. He's not on that cross. He's not in that grave. I went over to Israel. I saw the empty tomb. He's alive. My friend, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice, because he's alive. And we don't have to be afraid of death. No, we don't have to be afraid of death like people with dead religion. That he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And the scriptures never lie, amen. And I heard about a father, they was out with his daughter, and they both had an allergy to bee sting. And they were out in the country, and the car was an electric car. It clicked off. He couldn't drive. The windows were up. Couldn't get the windows down. And there was a bee in the car, and it's flying around, ready to sting him. And the father said to the daughter, "I'm going to save you, because if she got bit by that, or stung by that bee, she's dead." And he put his hand up, and the bee stung him, and he died. But the stinger was gone. It could no longer sting the daughter. And she was saved. And you know what? Our Savior took the sting of death upon himself. So that we would, what? Never die. He died. He was separated from the Father. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He'd never been separated from the Father. Had delightful fellowship. Proverbs 8 said he rejoiced with him. in the creation and before the creation. He was always with the Father. And then he was separated from the Father so that you can never be separated. You say, but what if I get sick? What if I die? It's not going to separate you from the love of God. It's not going to cut off your hope. No, we have a wonderful gospel, and we need to get it out there. So tonight, I want to preach on, listen, do you want to know a secret? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52. When I was a kid, there was a song, a popular song, and it went something like this. Listen, do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell? Whoa, 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 closer. Let me whisper in your ear. Say the words you long to hear. I'm in love with you. Ooh. One of those old love songs. How many have ever heard that song? Oh, wow, a lot of you have heard that song. That's funny. That came out when I was a teenager, so it must have been redone again. But that's the message tonight. Listen, do you want to know a secret? And let me say, number one, listen to what the Lord will do for some of you who are believers. Now, I'm going to say that again. Listen to what the Lord will do for some of you who are believers. It's not going to be every one of you, but it may be some of you that are here today. I don't know. I can't say it, but it may be. And let me share you the secret. This is a secret, what the Lord will do for you. The Bible says, behold, I show you a mystery. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now, what is a mystery in the Bible? It's not something that's so mysterious you can't understand it. A mystery is something that is a secret that only God knows. Jesus, the Father, the Son, usually, the Holy Spirit. God knows the secret. Now, there's something even the Son didn't know in his first coming when he was humbled, and that was the day of the second coming, although I believe he knows it now. But there was a secret, and that's a mystery, and God has to tell you the secret. You know, if you're a good friend to somebody, they can whisper in your ear a secret, right? They don't want anybody else to hear it. It's a secret for you. That's friendship. They trust you with a secret. And you're kind of privy to it because you're a close friend. Do you know the Bible says the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him? That means God makes known to you the mystery of his will through revelation, through the prophets and through the apostles that write it down in the Word of God. And you are privy to God's secrets about these things. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, I have a secret for some of you who are believers. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. That's a secret that's going to be revealed. He said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So that's a mystery. It's a secret. Now, when he wrote that scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, 51, he was actually making known the secret for the first time. Nobody had heard it before. It was not in the Old Testament. It was not even written in the New Testament. The other apostles didn't even know about it at that point. Even Paul didn't know about it until God showed it to him, and he wrote down to the Corinthians this secret. Can one of the men tell me what the secret is that had never been revealed before? Never been revealed. What is it, Joe? Yeah, well, not exactly. Not so fast a man is, but I know what you're saying. You see, it's no secret at that point that if a believer died, he would be raised up again. Now, we know at the rapture, there's going to be a lot of dead people that are believers that they're going to come alive again. That's not a mystery. That's called the first resurrection. Everybody from Adam all the way up till the last believer during the church dispensation that dies, is going to be raised from the dead. And the Lord is coming back. We know that, but he's saying, I want to tell you a secret that will happen to some of you, and I'll read it again. Behold, I show you a mystery. That's a secret that's being revealed. We shall not all sleep. By that, he's talking about a believer's death. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Why does he call death sleep to the believer? Well, because the soul doesn't go to sleep. We just said that. It's always alive. But the body dies. But it's called sleep because it's going to wake up again. It's going to be raised from the dead. So it's called sleep. The body. It's like sleep. If you're burying a loved one, you see that loved one there. I remember when I went to the hospital to be there for Denny Owen. And he was very sick. And I'd been praying for him. I'd visited him in the hospital up there, Geisinger CMC, and I went up there, and I was rushing to get there because I knew he was sick, and I got there, and I saw Denny, and Marion was there, and Kristen, who was the daughter, was there. I believe it was Kristen, not Terry. I can't remember which daughter it was. It was Kristen, who was here this morning. Kristen was here, Denny Owen's daughter. And there was Denny, and he was just sleeping. And I'm talking to them about Denny, how is he doing, and everything. And finally, it dawned on me that was not Denny sleeping merely. He was dead. And he was laying there, and it looked to me like he was sleeping. Well, you know what? Denny's coming out of that grave alive. And that is a great truth that has been in the Old Testament. The resurrection of the dead is Old Testament truth. It's not a new secret. It's an old secret that's made known. But Paul said, I'm going to tell you a secret. It's a new secret. It's never been revealed before. Nobody's ever heard it before. Now, for the last almost 2,000 years, it's been a revealed secret. And he says, but we shall not all sleep. That is, as a believer, we're not going to go through death, burial, and resurrection. We shall not, but we shall all be changed. Now, we know that those that die are going to be changed. When their body's raised from the dead, it's going to be a different kind of body. It's going to be raised in power, sown in the ground in weakness. It's going to be raised a body that will not get old again and get corruptible, and no tooth decay, no sickness, nothing like that, no halitosis, no body odor. It's going to be a beautiful body that is going to be changed after you die. But wait a minute, he's saying we now let me read this. He's saying here, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. You see, when you die, you have to be raised in order to go through outer space, because your old body would not make it through outer space to go to the third heaven. But if you don't die, your body is going to be changed without dying. In other words, your body suddenly is going to be miraculously changed. You say, who's going to change it? Jesus. But how's he going to change it? By the Holy Spirit that lives in you. The same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives inside of your spirit, which is inside of your body. And at the appropriate time, the Holy Spirit will change you without even having to go through death. You know, I preached this morning about prophecy coming off the parchment and coming down onto the pavement. And Jose Valley came up to me, and of course the first thing he said is, man, how long is it going to be till we get to that great tribulation, into that second coming part? And I said, I don't know. I said, the times are not in my hands. It could be longer than I think. It could be shorter than I think. He said, well, man, well, these prophecies are starting to accelerate. He's right. He is right about that. Israel became a nation May 14, 1948. And then June 1967, first week in June, June 6th or June 7th, boom, they took over Jerusalem and the Temple Mount, and it's just like now we're seeing one thing after the other. Zephaniah 2, already in the process of being fulfilled, not fully, but it's in the process. Ezekiel, I mentioned 26, 10 and following. Hezbollah, in the process of being fulfilled. And then, same thing with Iran, boom, in the process of being fulfilled. And this is happening closer and closer together. So how long is this golden age going to happen before we have that next prophecy of Ezekiel 38 and 39, which is pre-70th week, I believe, and there's a lot of reasons for that? I don't know. But I do know this, God didn't give us the time so that we would be ready. God didn't give us the time so that we'd be watching for the Lord to come back and not trying to build your kingdom here and teach your children to watch and teach that we're just stewards of what we have. And so I'm just saying that listen to what the Lord will do for some of you who are believers. Some of you that are believers, you're not going to die. You're going to be here at the second coming. You say, Pastor, do you believe Jesus could come back in your lifetime? Oh yeah, I believe he could. I don't know that he will, but I believe he could. How about in your children's lifetime? Yeah. How about in your grandchildren? Yeah. I got, 16 grandchildren now. One is in my daughter's womb and is my daughter-in-law and is ready to be born at the end of August. That's the latest bloom. 16 grandchildren. But you see, my grandmother, my mom who's here, her mother, where my mom grew up in Muskegon, Michigan, led me to the Lord and told me about prophecy. And I'm telling you, and you're telling others, and that's passed on so that we can watch and realize there might be some of us who's not going to die. Now, Joe Walsh has passed away, and all other believers in Christ who've been in this church, for instance, and have passed away, they're going to rise from the dead. It's already revealed. And the new secret is not the resurrection. It's that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And how is it going to happen? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, when the Lord blows that trumpet and signifies the second coming of Jesus Christ. Listen, do you want to know a secret? Listen to what the Lord will do for some of you, not all of you, who are believers. Number two, listen to when the Lord will do it for some of you. It says, verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. See, there's two people here. There's the dead believers, and then we who are alive. Who was Paul identifying with? The ones that were going to be alive. You say, should I be looking forward to dying? You should be looking forward to being alive when Jesus comes back. That's the way it's presented in the Word of God. Now, to be dead is to be better off. Is Joe Walsh better off than you are? Yes, he is. Joe's better off than you are right now. But the best of all is to be alive at the second coming. But I'm just saying that he says we shall be changed, and it's going to be at the last trump. Now, in the wilderness, Moses had the trumpet blown, and when the trumpet was blown, it signified two things, basically. It would summon the congregation to get together to meet. And secondly, the trumpet would be a blast to signify, we're under attack, get ready to fight. This is time for war. So what's the last trump? Well, some people say, well, that there's seven trumpet judgments in Revelation. It must be the last of the seven. No, it's the last trumpet where you have two things going on. One is the gathering together of all believers, whether dead or alive, to meet the Lord in the air. It's the congregation. And number two, it is the summoning of war, which means the day of the Lord's wrath is about to begin. The same day, listen to me, that we are gathered together to meet the Lord, the same day God will pour out his wrath. In the first trumpet judgment, and then the second, and the third, and then the vial or bowl judgments. God will do that on the same day that he calls his congregation together. By the way, every time we get together for church is like we're being raptured, right? We're called together. And that's why I want to be there. Some people aren't here tonight. No doubt playing hooky. I don't want to play hooky from church. I don't want to miss out. Like Pastor Ware said, when God's working, I want to be on the front row to see what God's doing. And I'm just saying, at the rapture, no true believer will be able to play hooky. Everyone will be summoned. Whether they're dead in the grave. That's an excuse. You know, I've heard every excuse for why I'm not in church. How about this one? I was dead, Pastor. So Joe Walsh has a good excuse. He can't be here tonight. But you'll have no excuse when the Lord raptures the church. If you're dead, you're coming out of there. And if you're alive, you're coming out of the world alive and changed. And the angels, Matthew 24, are going to get you and fly you up to meet the Lord in the air. The Lord's not going to touch down at the first event of his second coming. He's going to hover in the air and call us out of this world as he's getting ready to pour out his wrath. So the trumpet means two things: assemble the congregation and pour out God's judgments. And that is the last eschatological trump that it's talking about. Listen, do you want to know a secret? Number one, listen to what the Lord will do for some of you who are believers. And that is, you'll never die. You'll see the upper taker, not the undertaker. Listen to when the Lord will do it for some of you. Not only what he will do for some of you, but when he will do it at the last trump. You say, when's that last trump going to be? I just told you this morning, all the events that you can look for, and we're getting closer. Every day you live, you're getting closer to the second coming. Number three and last, listen to the words of comfort for all of you who are believers. Not some of you, but all of you. Most of us are going to die before the rapture. When I say us, I'm thinking of church-age believers. But the Bible says, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Miss Wolf is coming up. Eric Slobodnik is coming up. Ralph Tolley coming up and out of that grave. Denny Owen coming up and out. For the trumpet shall sound, and my wife's father's coming out, and so forth. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In other words, nobody's going to miss it. If one of us here dies this year, you won't miss it. If you die next year before the Lord comes back, you won't miss it. If you die the following year, you won't miss it. Your body may go into the grave. Even if you're stupid and you burn yourself up like you shouldn't do, you're still not going to miss it. That body's going to be assembled, every molecule, and put back together. God will do that. So if you're dead, you're not going to miss it. You're going to be raised incorruptible, and we that are alive shall be changed. You know what? I've lived a while now, and I've seen a lot of reunions. You know, family reunions. You know where most family reunions take place, Brother Joe? I'm sure you do. At weddings and funerals. Weddings and funerals. You don't see many family reunions at divorces. But the weddings and the funerals, everybody gets together. And no born-again believer is going to miss this final family reunion. Every one of us will be there. People may play hooky from church tonight, but they won't play hooky from that gathering at that church gathering. Christ said, I'll build my church. That's his church now. And that's going to be assembled. Amen. And nobody's going to be absent. And 1 Corinthians 15:52 says this, and it goes along with 1 Thessalonians 4. Those two scriptures go together. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Do you believe that tonight? Then you ought to be shouting, not pouting. That is good news. It says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Listen, if he didn't come the first time and die, the second coming wouldn't be any good, would it? He had to come that first time and die and conquer death. He did it. He did it. He did it. Death has been defeated. God's a mighty foe, but Jesus was greater. Like David slew Goliath, Jesus slew death. He did it all alone. He's the only one that could do it. And I am so glad for that. I used to be a hypochondriac. I was afraid every time I got sick I was going to die. That was before I got saved. I was a hypochondriac. My mother's here tonight. I understand where I got it from. Sometime my mother will think she's dying. And I'm not going to say her age. I'm not crazy. I'd be dead. But I know this, that I keep telling her, Mom, I don't believe you're dying. I'm a good man in a crisis. I'll know. I don't believe it. I don't believe you dying. I'm just saying. I used to be a hypochondriac. But now I know Jesus conquered death. I don't have to fear death. I have a wonderful promise, and it's going to happen at the appearing of Jesus. When he comes back to raise the dead, believers, when he comes back to change the living, believers, it's no thief in the night secret rapture for believers. In fact, the Bible says it's the epiphania, the appearing. It's going to be a glorious shining of the Lord. The whole world will see it. And what will the people of the world do? They'll mourn because they've taken the mark of the beast. They've rejected Jesus Christ. How foolish! But you won't. You won't. You won't. You'll lift up your head. Your redemption is drawing nigh. You'll be so excited. And that is the blessed hope. What's the blessed hope? Whether you're dead or alive, you're not going to miss being changed and having a glorified body. You know, the Bible says in Jude 21, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. What's that talking about? The longer we hang around here, the more difficult this world's going to become. Have you ever noticed that? The older a person gets, the more difficult this world becomes. I see people my age and they're getting knee replacements and everything else. When my wife was getting her back operated on, we saw a gal that used to sing in this church all the time. Audrey and her husband were there, and we were there, and she visited my wife, and Audrey just got a knee replacement. I remember Audrey used to say, I'm going to heaven one body part at a time, one body part at a time. You know, the older you get, the more you realize that, you know, this body's a corruptible body. It's got problems. But it won't stop you from missing the rapture. If that heart stops beating and that brainwave goes out, it's not too much for Jesus. Because he died for us. He gave his life for us. Why? To raise us back up. And that is our hope. I feel sorry for the world that doesn't have that. We need to get the word out. Amen. The Bible says, some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. We're sitting in here. We got every reason to rejoice. But there's a world out there dying, and they don't have that hope that you and I have. They need it. And so it says, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed, and no born-again believer is going to miss that reunion. And so it says, and here's the final thing I want to say. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4, comfort one another with these words. Just heard that Joe Walsh passed away. I love Joe Walsh. I was looking for him, trying to find him, not knowing what was coming down. But as a pastor, I wanted to find Joe Walsh because I love my sheep. I love my peeps. And I was looking for him. I couldn't find him. But Jesus, the senior head pastor of the whole church, he's going to find everyone that's the Lord's and bring them out of the grave. And if you're alive, he'll change your body because he just wants to. Satan wants the globalist government. He's licking his chops for it. You could just feel Satan's trying to do it. The only thing that restrains him is Michael the archangel, or he'd bring this thing right in. But you know what? I believe the Lord is licking his chops to bring us all together, to bring us home. And that's our hope. You should rejoice always. Because, listen, do you want to know a secret? Listen to what the Lord will do for some of you who are believers. Number two, listen to when the Lord will do it for some of you. And number three, listen to the words of comfort for all of you. We're all going to get the same wonderful, glorious body and be with the Lord forever. Amen and amen. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed tonight, every eye closed. We've been talking about